Well, just looking at the US, and obviously there's been a lot of events geopolitically, and it's going to be interesting to see just where they all settle out. For the time being, the Middle East seems to be in an uneasy truce. So, yeah, that's initially we had oil prices flipping up and then coming back down again to some degree. It's very, very hard to predict exactly where that will progress as we go ahead. But just looking at the data out of the US, there's some clear evidence that we've got some weakness developing in US economic growth at the same time as we've got some inflation holding up. So this is obviously a worrying development as far as the Federal Reserve's concerned. And we heard Jerome Powell giving his testimony at various times last week, and he's saying, look, it's just too uncertain. We've got to wait and see how this pans out. And, of course, what he's got at the back of his mind is, what's the tariffs when they eventually settle into place? What will they do to both growth and inflation down the track? And the data was literally all over the place last week. So if we're looking at the housing sector, for example, we had existing home sales, which actually lifted by 0.8% after being down 0.5% the month before. But we had new home sales, which fell by 13.7% in the month. We also had things like durable goods orders, which had a pretty good bounce for the most recent month, up 16.4% after falling 6.6%. But it was nothing like that when you took out some of the one-offs. So basically, it was only up 0.5% after being up 0 the month before. And we also had a little bit of a worrying revision to Q1 GDP. Q1 GDP in the US was minus 0.2% annualized growth. And we thought it'd be the same as that with the latest revision, but it was revised to minus 0.5%. And the main reason for that revision was quite a big downward revision to real consumer spending. Real consumer spending in Q1, which initially was 1.2% annualized, so still a supporting factor for growth, was revised down to 0.5%. Now, true, this goes going back to Q1, but we've got some evidence that the weakness has continued and probably extended going into Q2. For example, at the end of last week, we got May personal income, personal spending data came out, and personal income surprisingly fell for the most recent month. We were expecting it to rise by 0.3%. It was down 0.4% month on month. And personal spending was down 0.1% after being up only 0.2% the month before. So it seems as if the big support for growth coming from the consumer is fading for the time being. And that heralds a bit of weakness in US economic growth prospects as we look ahead. We also had the consumer confidence survey, and consumer confidence came down to 93 in the month of June from 98.4 going back the month before. So some weakness running through there as well. Having said that, inflation still looking pretty high. We had the core personal consumption expenditure deflator came out for May, and that actually edged up, went up to 2.7% year on year from 2.6. The Fed's keen to get inflation down on all measures to around 2%, and it's just sticking up there for the time being. So the US is in a pretty horrible position at the moment, where you've got some signs that growth is peeling away, but with inflation coming up. This week in the US, I suppose the key data reports are going to be the ISM manufacturing PMI and non-manufacturing PMIs, as well as the labour force data. And it's all going to get compressed into the first part of the week because we've got the Independence Day holiday for the 4th of July coming up on Friday. Now, as far as the ISM figures are concerned, the Purchasing Managers' reports, the manufacturing PMI was down at 48.5 going back to May. And it may lift a little, and the market thinks that might lift to perhaps 48.8. That comes out on Tuesday evening. And then on Thursday, we get the June ISM non-manufacturing PMI. Now, for the first time in this cycle, that had come down below 50 last month, to 49.9. There's a hope it might just trickle up to 50, the expansion contraction marker. But back in May, we had both those key indicators just below the expansion contraction marker. So again, one of those signals that things are looking a little bit softer. So we're really watching towards non-farm payrolls and what that shows. Now, that's still showing a pretty tight labour market and holding up pretty well. If you went back to May, we had 139,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. The market thinks that'll be up another 120,000 when it comes out for June. So, you know, it's still holding up there. But they do think that the unemployment rate might just edge up a little bit from 4.2% to 4.3%. We'll also get June average hourly earnings coming out, and wages growth is still holding up in the United States. Going back last month, it was pretty high. It was up 0.4% month on month, 3.9% year on year. Still expected to be up 0.3% and around 3.94% year on year for the year on year measure. So, you know, wages are holding up, but it appears that, you know, the consumers might be just getting a little bit worried about the future and saving that rather than thinking about spending it, and you know, it's just cutting into US economic growth. Now, in amongst all that, you know, we've got President Trump's big beautiful bill working its way through the Senate at the moment. You know, that is a very expansionary bill. It's another one of those factors which is probably worrying the Federal Reserve, and it's one of the reasons why it can't bring down interest rates for the time being. So we've got that factor which is running through. And we're also, once we get into July, we're getting up to, you know, one of his fungible deadlines. When I say fungible, you never know when the deadline is with President Trump, where he was saying that around the 9th of July, that's when countries had to have their bilateral trade agreements in place with the US. Well, we know that some of those are running into difficulty. We don't know whether we're going to get an extension on the deadline or whether he's going to impose some of those the tariffs that he announced going back a while back. So waiting, you know, to see when that happens, but that deadline is sort of creeping up on us as we get into the new month this week. And so another one of those pressure points that is just there, adding to the uncertainty about the US economic outlook. Out of China last week, nothing of note there, but this week we will get manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMIs and also the CAGS inversions of those. For the most part, they're expected to be at or just slightly firmer than where they were. And going back last month, the official manufacturing PMI, which will be out later today, that one was at 49.5. It's expected to lift to 49.6. And the non-manufacturing PMI was at 50.3, expected to be a similar sort of result. And it's similar for the CAGS inversions when they come out later in the week. The manufacturing PMI was at 48.3. That's expected to lift to 49.2, still below the 50 marker. And the CAGS in non-manufacturing PMI expected to lift slightly from 51 to 51.1. It's interesting that the non-manufacturing PMI in China is just looking a little bit firmer. And we've had a trickle up in some of these growth indicators as far as China's concerned, rather the opposite of what's happening in the United States at the moment. They're moving to Australia, and we had the monthly CPI came out. It's an interesting one because it did come down more than expected. So the May CPI came down to 2.1% from 2.4% year on year. And the trim mean came down from 2.8 to 2.4 as well. So that's reasonably significant in that it shows that for the time being inflation's coming down. And it does give more leeway to the Reserve Bank to think about cutting rates. So at this stage, more likely than not, we'll get some 25 basis point cuts from the Reserve Bank for probably July and again in August. And so looking for the cash rate perhaps to get down to 3.35%. There is a caution on this. We will get quite a flip back up in annual inflation rates once we get into Q3 and Q4. Now, that data, we won't see it properly until we get to September, October. So it's still a fair time before that comes through. We'll probably be down to about 3.35% for the cash rate by then. But then it's going to get sticky because we'll start to see the flip side with inflation picking up. And there's still a lot of reason why inflation picks up quite a bit as we get into 2026. Looking at Australia this week, we get some other indicators too. Today we get the Melbourne Institute's inflation gauge. That was down 0.4% month on month in May. Probably flipped up in the month of June. Wait and see where that one comes in. We get private sector credit came out today. That's been lifting quite a bit because people are buying houses and housing finance commitments are lifting, and also the credit extended by banks and other lenders is also lifting. So it was up 0.7% month on month going back to April, be up another 0.7% we think for May. We get on Wednesday May home building approvals. They're expected to rise. They've had a couple of soft months. Last month they were down by 5.7%. The market thinks we'll get a rebound of 5% for the month of May. And we also get May retail sales. Retail sales were soft going back to April. They were down 0.1%. The market thinks that we'll get a lift of perhaps 0.3%. At the moment, that's all looking a little bit weak. And so another one of the reasons why the RBA for the time being is focusing more on weakness in growth rather than an inflation threat, which is really not in the next few months, but is out there as you get into later this year and into next year. We get trade data as well. The size of the trade surplus has been mostly coming back a bit over recent months. That's largely because of the weakness running through China's growth rate. And that's expected to come back again to about $5.08 billion surplus from $5.413 billion surplus the month before. Moving to Europe, last week they had their manufacturing PMI, services sector PMI. They're a little bit better than the US. The manufacturing PMI in June was 49.4. The services sector PMI is over 50, 50.2. Europe, if anything, is doing better than the US at present. Also, it's likely to continue to do better because we've got fairly expansionary government policies setting in, notably in Germany. All across Europe, they're starting to spend a lot more, obviously, on things like defence. At the same time, we've had a lot more easing of interest rates by the European Central Bank than the Fed has been able to manage. The deposit rate for the ECB is down at 2%, whereas, of course, the Fed's at 4.5%. So, unsurprisingly, Europe is actually showing some better signs for the time being. You can see it there in the June business and consumer survey, which came out last week, still holding up relatively well. It was 94.8 the month before. It was 94. That's actually a reasonably firm reading. This week in Europe, we'll get on Tuesday the June preliminary CPI and core CPI readings. The preliminary CPI looks as if it might edge up a little. It was down at 1.9%. going back to May, maybe coming in at 2% for the month of June, but that's at the ECB's target. Core CPI, still a little bit higher, 2.3% year on year, going back to the month of May and probably staying at 2.3%. Still a very tight labour market in Europe. The May unemployment rate is likely to hold at 6.2%. That's 25-year low for the unemployment rate in Europe. And producer prices are actually falling largely because of energy prices, which have come back. So we get that May reading coming up later in the week. So I suppose this week, as others, in some ways the data may not matter that much. It's down to the flips and flops in policies which come from the United States. And you know, maybe we're not so much focused on the Middle East this week in the United States as we are on what comes next with these tariffs again. And so, you know, that may start to come to the fore, particularly as we get towards those deadlines where bilateral trade agreements were supposed to be set in the United States. So just watching all those factors. As far as asset classes are concerned, it continues to be a puzzle why risk assets are as strong as they are. It appears to be a lot of momentum in there. And of course, when that breaks, you can get some pretty savage falls. So particularly when you really haven't got any economic underpinnings for that, rather the opposite, particularly in the United States. So just watching that. And for bond yields, they're creeping down a little, but they can't go far because, as I say, over the horizon, we still have this potential inflation threat.